tune in and just listen to you, but stay tuned for Rapid Spears Broadsides. That's what's coming at you. Square face front now. 2 hours, 6 to 8. Civil rights on the air here in Santa Cruz. Homeless rights, police abuse, and current events generally. I'm your host, Rapid Spear Robert Norris. Stay with me.
Hippie Planter near Alibaba's Cafe, talking to
Matt.
And Matt, you're sitting here on this planter, and what's happening here? Any problems with police?
Well, like 3 days ago, I was down here with a couple of my friends. We were just sitting here hanging out, and we were about to go to a movie, and this cop just comes up, and he stood right in front of us, and he wouldn't leave. And then a friend of mine was on the other side of the planter over there, and he was like talking to the cop. Because he's wearing all black, the cop was like, I don't know, just like talking a bunch of shit to him. So they started yelling at the cop. They didn't arrest him, but they were just giving him a whole bunch of shit.
Do you know the name of the cop? Or?
Marty Over.
Officer Over at it again. He just stood there, or was he?
Yeah, he came up and he stood like right, like 2 feet in front of us, like right here. And he was staring at us. And then when I walked off with my friend, we came back around like the other side of the building and he followed us all the way around. There was like 3 cops standing over there like waiting with him. And we were like, what the fuck? They didn't say nothing to us, but they were like following us around trying to see what we were up to. And I was like...
And what were you up to?
Oh, nothing.
We were just selling dynamite, using heroin?
No, we were waiting to go to this movie and we just cruised back to my friend's car so I could drop my jacket off. And then we came around again and he's like, what are you doing? Because we went in the movie theater, but we went out the exit because my friend works there. And we came back around again. He wanted to know what we were doing over there. And we were like, nothing. We were just like putting my jacket in the car and then we're coming back to the movie.
Are you a frequent visitor to this area? Are you live in town? Or?
Yeah, I live in town right up by the university.
And are you a minor?
I'm 19, yeah.
So you're no longer a minor?
Well, not really. But I'm under 21, so.
Right. I guess you can't drink until you're over 21.
Right.
I've forgotten so many years ago. Have you seen anybody being issued tickets here, or?
Yeah, if you stand next to that building right there, or sit down, and a cop comes up, they have the right to give you a ticket, because they say it's like causing trouble, or like listening outside of someone's,
And this is Bathroom Spears Broadsides, Free Radio Santa Cruz, on the air, your regular civil rights show twice a week, Thursdays at 6 and Sundays at 11 in the morning. You're listening to a pre-recorded tape, I should say a tape I recorded like a week or two ago, at what has come to be called Hippie Planter. Old-timers may remember Friendship Corner or Hippie Corner, as it's called, the corner of Cathcart and Pacific before it was fenced off, flowered off, and finally policed off, and the youth counterculture there dispersed and driven away. It's kind of course, you can't really drive that kind of culture away, and it resurfaces. It's resurfaced at an area between New Leaf and the Del Mar Theater, which is sort of a long combination of kiosks and flower planters. And though the city council has succeeded in making it criminal behavior to sit on many low-lying planters, the ones that are 2 or 3 inches from the ground downtown on Pacific Avenue, it is still legal to sit on planters that are, a foot or two high, kind of, or waist high. It's not really waist high, was it knee high or thigh high? In any case, you can sit on those planters, and that's where I interviewed these folks. Tape apparently is giving me a little problem, but I'm hoping we can return to it. Here's some more, because it gives you some indication of the situation down in the mall vis-a-vis the police from the point of view of the people who are being harassed, as they see it, by the police department. Let's see if we can get a little more of this tape. Now we're having trouble doing it, so I'll work on it and see what we can do with that, and maybe get some more as the show continues. It's interesting, this kind of this minor harassment. Martin Over, of course, is the officer who was the partner to Connor Carey, the man who shot Happy John Dine, Happy Hippie, as some called him, dead in November here in Santa Cruz, and was then exonerated by the DA's office, the police department's internal affairs department, and, of course, our very own Citizens Police Review Board, headed now by Lisa Rose, at that time by Dr. Bill Christie. I'm still suggesting that if you've had problems with the police, that you file a complaint with this not just toothless but gutless Citizens Police Review Board, because they really are obligated at least to keep a record of the kinds of complaints and the specifics of the complaints that come in. It doesn't mean that the public can get easy access to them, but they can get some access, and more important, if complaints begin to mount up in an officer's file, it can have an effect. And in fact, in the case of Martin Over, it has had a deterrent effect on Over's behavior towards some people. So, for instance, I spoke to Stickman Bruce, who some of you may know. He's a fellow who carves very ornate and beautiful walking sticks, and you can sometimes find him in front of Palace Stationery with street musicians. Tall fellow, thin, with a beard. He was being harassed mercilessly by Over months ago, and until finally he stood up to Over and began filing complaints and making it clear how he felt about it, both to those around him and to city authorities. And apparently Over now steers clear of Stickman Bruce. And I hope that continues, and I hope that maybe that's a lesson there for us all. If you stand up and exert your rights, let the public know what's going on. You don't have to do so in a violent or abusive way, but do so in a straightforward way and in a loud and clear way. And that can have positive ramifications in the police department and in the community generally. It sets a good model for what's to be done. Bullies will continue bullying until they are told to back off. But apparently, according to the tape we've just heard, Over is continuing his harassment of other folks who have not yet told him to back off. And I guess we're going to have an update on Stickman Bruce. He's had there was an encounter on the mall, which I've talked about in the past, with an officer, Richards, who apparently got into an argument with Stickman Bruce and drew his gun on Bam Bam. Bam Bam is not some rap mobster. No, he is a peaceful drummer who is actually very much concerned with the Happy John Dine investigation and really goes the extra mile to meet the police department in friendly colloquy. I would say perhaps even more so than I do, and I regard myself as, even though a strong critic of certain kinds of police misconduct on the air and certain police officers, I also like to commend police officers when they act well, as happens and has happened to me in the last 3 or 4 months. And I think that that this kind of even-handed treatment of the police department is really important. If your complaints are going to count, you also have to give police credit when they act appropriately. And to do that, I suggest anytime you have a complaint or a compliment for the police that you give a call to the Citizens Police Review Board, 429-3262, not because they're going to do diddly squat about complaints in any meaningful way again, but because they'll keep a record. Again, the number, and it's a 24-hour message line, so you can do it at any time. 929-3262. They're open Monday through Thursday from 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon at 915 Cedar, in case you want to wander on down there and fill out forms. But you can actually just leave a message on the phone, and presumably they'll get back to you or send a form to your address, which you can leave on their line. As I was saying about Stickman Bruce, he's going to court, having been charged with the catch-all, if we can't think of anything else, we charge him with obstructing an officer, interfering with an officer. And I believe he's actually been to court on that. I haven't heard the latest report. I'm hoping that he's done well. I know that there's a fight coming up around Jerry Henry. Those of you who've been following the show, he's the fellow who acted kind of as a street pastor in Aptos Shopping Center to young folks who are being driven away by the business/sheriff's establishment down there, who are simply apparently intent on removing non-paying or non-big-time spending youth culture from the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. And that, I believe, Jerry Henry's trial begins on Monday. He'll be defended by attorney Kate Wells. I have in front of me, however, at the moment, an interesting story which didn't get much play in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, of course, or any of the other Santa Cruz media, but actually was on the front pages of the Monterey Peninsula Herald, or it's called the Monterey County Herald now, I guess, for the last, from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think it slipped off on Monday, it came back on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I think it was gone again today. But the story is, of course, the story of the police shooting of Charles E. Vaughn Sr. And I'm going to read you this little recap here, which is not my work. It's by John DeSantis, who's a Monterey County Herald writer, and it's far from being advocacy journalism, but it gives you sort of some of the background from a reporter's point of view. What follows is a summary of what is known about the shooting of Charles E. Vaughn Sr., which occurred about 11 a.m. Tuesday on the roof of 1137 Echo Avenue. It is based on interviews with investigators, witnesses, police officials, and Vaughn's friends and relatives. The 6'5" Vaughn, a former physical education teacher at Seaside's Highland Elementary School, who had a career in the Army before that, is the father of four grown children. Twice married and divorced, he suffered from advancing schizophrenia. Sometime after 10 a.m. Tuesday, that's a week ago Tuesday, two social workers from Monterey County Adult Protective Services came to see Vaughn, concerned about reports that he was not taking his medication and that he might be in distress. A Marina-based private ambulance was dispatched to the Echo Avenue address to transport Vaughn. Seaside police were dispatched to Echo Avenue. Officers were told that Adult Protective Services required assistance and that Vaughn had been, quote, combative in the past. Sergeant Louis Lumpkin arrived with police officers Joseph Bertena and Ronald Guth. When the officers announced their presence, Vaughn did not answer but bolted from the rear of the apartment and fled to the roof of the Echo Avenue complex. At least one police officer was on the roof with Vaughn and tried to talk him down. Witnesses have identified that officer as Lumpkin. Vaughn advanced with an object in his hand, later identified as a corkscrew. Bertena and Guth, according to witness accounts, fired their pistols at Vaughn from the ground. Investigators have not verified that detail, however. Vaughn was struck three times in the chest. An American Medical Response Ambulance and the Seaside Fire Department were dispatched to the scene. Police officers from Delray Oaks and Sand City also responded. Vaughn was pronounced dead at Community Hospital of the Monterey Peninsula. Lumpkin, Bertena, and Guth were placed on paid leave and are receiving psychological counseling. They will return to work as soon as doctors clear them to do so. Vaughn's death, caused by gunshot wounds, has been ruled a homicide because his life was taken by the act of another person. The Monterey County District Attorney's Office, at the request of the Seaside Police Department, is investigating the incident. No criminal charges have been filed at this time. This is from the Sunday Monterey County Herald, a story by John DeSantis, about the killing, the Seaside Police killing of Charles E. Vaughn Sr. Interestingly enough, the names of these three police officers was not released until days after the shooting, and an intense pressure from the news media and the families involved. And apparently now there's going to be an investigation of this whole thing by a patients advocacy group, a statewide advocacy group, which is concerned with the rights of folks who are being treated for so-called mental illness. And of course, I think that's perhaps one avenue that we can consider in the Happy John Dine case, since the Citizens Police Review Board and the City Council have refused to investigate independently or actually even ask any questions at public hearings of the witnesses involved, even though almost every witness disputes the official account that was the police chief and the district attorney's initial perspective on the John Dine shooting, namely that he had a weapon in his hand, was pointing at the police, was assuming a combat stance and doing so in a threatening manner. Nobody saw that. They didn't see anything in his hand. They didn't even see, they saw, not to say a weapon, they didn't see a combat stance. And eventually the police review board came up with a different story that he was reaching for a weapon. And that, too, is disputed by many of the witnesses. So the questions remain in that case unresolved. And possibly a patient advocacy group could do a good job of, and actually, more important, have the financial and investigative resources to go after that. Another shooting, of course, we've been following is the Button Street shooting, the near slaying of Brian Andrus, shot five times by four police officers for allegedly wielding, I think it was an aluminum baseball bat. All the witnesses, most of them children, however, though some of them saw the bat in his hand, said he was nowhere within striking range of the police officers involved when he was cut down. And of course, the bullets sprayed all over the neighborhood with kids all around. One bullet ricocheting around the apartment where his, one and a half year old baby, Lori Andrus's baby, was sleeping. It's quite a story. It's quite a situation. And of course, he's getting quite a bunch of felony charges against him because I think the police department has a little bit of something of an apprehension there. And I believe I mentioned in a previous show that, actually, again, I'm skipping back to the Happy John Dine case. We were seeking the police dispatch tape in that case. We being Santa Cruzans, for full disclosure, a group of which I'm a member, and Chief Belcher, of course, sold that tape to Attorney Ed Fry, or a copy of it, and the tape, of course, was blank in any areas involving conversations with Carrie and Over between Carrie and Over and headquarters about Happy John Dine, the man shot dead. We played the tape for the Citizens Police Review Board, and the Citizens Police Review Board's staff member said, "That's not the tape we heard. They gave you a different tape," and so we're trying to sort that one out. So lots of things are in the hopper and continuing. And in Monterey, apparently they take things a bit more seriously when people are shot down by police, or at least, I guess, in this particular case. And I hope that they continue to do so, and I hope that maybe we can start to do so, because it's about time for that. Here's an interesting article by a guy called Mark Lane, who's not the famous Mark Lane of 30 years ago, challenged the Warren Commission, for all you old-timers who wrote the book Rush to Judgment. No, this is Mark Lane, associate editor for the Daytona Beach, Florida News Journal, in an article in the San Jose Mercury News called "The Long Arm of Skateboard Laws." The patrol car was moving slowly, methodically around the dumpsters behind the shopping center. Law enforcement was looking for criminals, dangerous criminals, bold criminals, short criminals, skateboarders. "I live in a town where skateboarding is illegal on the sidewalks and parking lots. The ordinance is enforced vigorously, and on any clear, warm day, the cat-and-mouse games skateboarders play with law enforcement seems as much as a part of the sport of skateboarding as wearing goofy, baggy pants, at least for the kids. The police tend to treat the pastime on a par with convenience store robbery." Freeze, dirtbag, does seem an odd way to address an 11-year-old, but this is war. "I don't know when this became war, although skateboarders never have been welcome anywhere. A simple, 'Hey, you kids, get out of here,' used to suffice. But now a nationwide crackdown has gained momentum. Skateboarders are banned by ordinance, hunted by authorities, and denounced by informers." Eric Larson, take note. "Politicians promise complaining constituents that the city will do something about the skateboard menace. Police write tickets, confiscate boards, lecture, threaten, and intimidate. Yet this lawlessness persists. Skateboarding is not a crime. It's just illegal," says a skateboarding t-shirt. "A nuanced ethical distinction, but not altogether unreasonable. When law clashes with long-held custom over an activity that is not immoral, offenders just don't feel like criminals. Skateboard criminalizers respond with the not unreasonable argument that skateboards are dangerous, loud, and destructive. True enough. The same can be said for motorcycles, leaf blowers, chainsaws, and 100 other devices adults power up on weekends. Statistics suggest that skateboards aren't even all that deadly. Skateboarders are less likely to get hurt badly than football or baseball players. They often get their arms and legs banged up, but seldom suffer serious injuries, according to most studies. So why the crackdown? Probably because too many people feel threatened by kids. We live in a strangely age-segregated culture. Whole neighborhoods, apartment buildings, and mobile home compounds have virtually no kids. The middle-agers keep to their offices. The kids are herded away to schools and video arcades. We are too alarmed to talk to kids or do our adult duty and hassle them. We expect the police to keep them off the sidewalks, the streets, and anywhere they might clash with the decor. We get uptight when more than two congregate. And that's sad. The effort governments exert hunting down skateboarders says something very creepy about the way society views kids. But there is a way out from the skateboard police state. Citizens, start yelling at the kids when they get too rad on the sidewalk. The struggle between teens and cranky oldsters predates the skateboard. It predates history. It must be revived. Hey, you kids, get out of here. The long arm of skateboard laws by Mark Lane in the San Jose Mercury News. Actually, that was today's San Jose Mercury News. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse. Phone numbers for you to call in, or I should say our phone number here, the studio line, is 423-5361. Our lines are open. You've been skateboarding lately, or getting bumped by skateboarders, or getting annoyed that police are spending your money going after skateboarders, or what you got to talk about that pertains to anything I've been talking about, give us a call, 423-5361. Our lines are open and we're eager to hear from you.
So
And that was Tom Petty, Full Moon Fever, I Won't Back Down. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. And we actually have someone on the phone lines here with us. Hey, caller, what's happening?
Well, I called in sort of as a mom here because I listened to what you were saying and reading about skateboarders and what it seems to me is a part of a bigger attack on young people for being young by society in general, not just legislators and police, but the attitude of people in general.
You have children yourself?
Yes, I have a daughter and two sons, and one of them's still a child.
You're a Santa Cruzan?
Pardon?
I'm sorry, you're a Santa Cruzan?
Yes, I live in Santa Cruz by choice, and in spite of the recent laws against ordinary behaviors that seem to proliferate here, including those aimed at our children. But I wanted to say two things, and one's not going to be a hit with youth, I'm sure, but I have a very good friend who's on the city council in Capitola who has anti-skateboarding laws on their, what is that promenade called down by the beach?
Oh, the Capitola promenade, yeah.
Esplanade. And I think it's really hard for people who are young and vital and have all their working parts to realize that most of us don't. You know, that there's a reason that old people walk slower than they do, and that the fears that a lot of people have who are older, I'm getting the finger here from one of my kids, have a basis in reality. And so if young people could try to have a wider worldview and be more considerate and be their own sort of diplomats and advocates, that would help a little. And hopefully it would roll back the tide that I see as real ageist bigotry. My other point of view is, you know, whenever you hear about this stuff like that good article you read in the paper, it doesn't point out that it's a class issue, too. Nobody thinks about this except the people, I think, maybe that are affected by it.
What do you mean by class issue? You mean it affects poor people more than richer people?
Well, poor people, like my older son, whom you know has had to live homeless in the streets of Santa Cruz, who would be angry at me if I named, so I'll skip that for the moment.
Great poet that he is.
That's their only transportation, and whether they make it from school to work, or in any other part of their life for that matter, depends on the fact that they can get there on time, the wheels help, and they can carry the board in with them. You know, they can park it in the classroom instead of, say you're in a bad neighborhood, having their bike stolen every week and not having a good place to put it anyway. I mean, I don't like to see my kids on skateboards. It's a gut thing. I'm kind of a wuss because you get banged up. And the more into it you get, I think, the more likely
By you, of course, you mean the skateboarder, not the public, right?
The skateboarder, yes. It's real. It makes me cringe to see someone young, even if I don't know them, when they fall. Even when they're just practicing. But my youngest kid nonetheless has his own ramp because there aren't facilities enough around the city for, you know, a place with safety and spotters and what you need to learn on your own.
Well, I know a lot of kids, I'm told, and actually I've seen, illegally use the high school areas, the high school blacktop areas after classes, and the cops come around and chase them away, and they come back.
Right, they build these schools with taxpayers' money for our children, and then say, you can't use these except when our teachers and police are here. You know, so whose schools are they?
Well, even then, I understand it's illegal under those occasions, and I know that...
It seems to me that when it shouldn't be legal is when there's a crowd of people who aren't on skateboards, not when it's vacant.
Well, I agree. One of the few positive things I had to say about Police Review Board member and former chair Bill Christie, conservative Mary Beth Campbell's appointment to the Citizens Police Review Board, was he took a real serious and strong initiative with respect to skateboarders and wanted to. He took a ride along with police and saw that skateboarders were being harassed by cops.
Yeah,
and he thought this was really a sad thing, and he didn't want to criticize the police, you know, because he felt they were just doing their job. But he certainly wanted to find some other alternatives, and unfortunately the board, in its usual manner, just didn't have the time to even look into it, back him up, or consider youth issues of police misconduct. And of course, one of the problems of dealing with skateboarders is, I mean, in considering these issues from the Citizen Space Review Board's point of view, is that it gets real easy to avoid these issues by saying, oh, well, it's the law that's unfair. The police are just following the law. So when they, you know, shoot blacks down in South Africa pre-1990 or even post-1990, it's, you know, it's the fault of the laws, not the police. It's an argument I can't buy.
Yes, well, that's not the point I'm trying to make, and I wouldn't want to be misunderstood that way. Mm-hmm. But to some extent, the fact that police get away with hassling teens, I will say youth, meaning, you know, under adult age legally, is because there's enough of a public will to let them. So if we don't address people's attitudes, and if we don't start talking to each other on the sidewalks, whether we need a skateboard or not, then we can't expect the police to be so going against the grain. And the laws are just a little thing compared to, I think, these social attitudes that pick up enough momentum to become nothing but bigotry.
Well, what do you think should be done in terms of... Do you think skateboarding laws in Santa Cruz should be changed? Do you think skateboarders should organize a union and start lobbying?
Well, I'm always supporting unions, and the young people have the energy to actually be very effective in a short period of time compared to other groups of people I've worked with, the poor, the elderly. I think that, you know, if it be taken like a serious sport, you know, would you believe it? Santa Cruz is one of the capitals of volleyball, and there's big stakes and big prizes and great big ads from Budweiser over volleyball games. When I was a kid, I would have never imagined that would be a spectator sport. Never. Mm-hmm. And we have, obviously, this is sort of the world capital, maybe not in terms of the best surf, but in terms of the best equipment for surfing. We could do that with skateboarding, with a little... with very little encouragement, just a little acceptance, the kids that are skateboarding could be having competitions among each other. You know, they could go to the younger kids that aren't totally hooked yet and teach them some safety. I could help them get money to do something like that. And it could lead to a different kind of perception. I mean, that's just one thing. Mm-hmm. But mostly, I think if young people realize that us old fogies, I'm just being old fogies because we're whatever, you know, we got a corn cob or butt or whatever, but because we're worn out and broken down and we couldn't keep up with them if our life depended on it, that, you know, if they could see that, see our experience on the sidewalk, it'd be a little easier for them to take fat breaths and go around, take a route that's not peopled, you know.
Well, thank you, caller. Is there anything you want to conclude with?
Well, I just, on the other side of that. You know, I just think adults who are spoiled and they live in their little car capsule, if you want to call that life, and they think about Santa Cruz as a place you should be able to power through instead of sit down and be. Think about if all of a sudden we run out of gas. How are you going to get across town or across 17? You know, these kids...
Well, maybe like in the movie I saw last night, a Chinese film, To Live, they can have... younger people carry them across, as it used to be the case in China. They actually, not only did they have rickshaws, but they had actual people carrying people through town as a kind of a taxi service.
Well, if they keep spitting on and criminalizing and being nasty and asking the police to gang ambush people because they're teenagers at Hippie Corner, they're not going to find them willing to carry them.
Mm. All you need to do is you know... make it a part of the parole condition for crimes like sitting on the sidewalk, and you'll have a whole new supply of saddle horses.
I suppose that could happen, but it's hard for me to imagine when I was young not bucking once in a while.
Well, listen, I appreciate your call, and do call back again, and kind of move on.
I'll try to think of some good news.
Thank you. And your turn now to call in if you'd like on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 423-5361. We actually have our tape machine back in order. Actually, the machine was fine. That was my mechanical problems again. And we're going to continue hearing some voices from people who are skateboarders and younger folks downtown at Hippie Planter.
I was standing over here by this jewelry store, and this cop came up to me. I don't know what his name was, and he said... he's like, you can't stand out here. And I was looking in the window, and I was like, okay, so I moved.
That's not true. You can stand there. You can't sit down within 10 feet of a window.
We were blocking the area, and we were like, okay, so we moved traffic. So we moved over by the phones, and then there was like five of us standing there, and he said, if we didn't get off the sidewalk because we were blocking the way, there was nobody out, it was raining. He said, if you don't move out of the way, I'm going to issue you a ticket.
Which officer was this?
I don't know his name. I didn't see. He didn't give us a ticket because we left.
And what time, when was this?
That was like a week ago, I think, like probably 7 or 8 days ago.
And what time of day?
Probably about 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
So you think that people are being focused on because they're young or because they're informally dressed or because they have blonde hair like yourself? What's the key indication that you're...
I don't know. Well, I come down here a lot because I go to the movies a lot and I just hang out with a couple of my friends. And I get coffee down here all the time and they see me down here a lot and a couple of my friends hang out a lot. So I just figure they're just like, I don't know, they just harass us for, I guess because we're young and we're not doing, and they don't think we're doing anything productive in our lives.
Well, you're not earning $30, $40 overtime by harassing other people. You should go around and start harassing people.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And wear a gun and a radio as you do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you, Matt. Anything you want to add for free radio?
Yeah, I think Marty Over sucks.
Have you considered filing a complaint with the Citizens Police Review Board?
I didn't know you could actually file any complaints like that.
You can.
Where do you do that at?
Let me just tell you.
Go ahead.
Because I won't be able to tell you like that.
Just tell me directly.
The lady right here at the downtown host, there was a kid coming off the bus or something. She's not even a cop, and she hit the kid on the bus, and he went back on the bus. He was like afraid to come out, and a lot of people filed a complaint against her.
She actually physically hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Did she say anything?
I don't know what happened, but I heard there was a lady that was sitting here, and she filed a complaint against it because she saw it.
You weren't a witness yourself.
No, I wasn't.
And there was another incident where a bike rider was going the wrong way down the street, and then the cops were sitting right there. Mm-hmm. And they told him to stop, and I guess he didn't hear him, so they tackled him. Just grabbed him. Yeah, clotheslined
him, and then threw him in a paddy wagon.
How long ago? You saw this?
Yeah, I seen it.
What's your name?
Right here, Chris.
And how long ago was it, Chris?
It was about a week ago. It was right here. I guess what it was is they say he was riding down the wrong way, and he didn't, I guess they tried to flag him down, but I don't think he really realized he was doing anything wrong. And they just tackled him, threw him on the ground, hog-tied him, so he was all, threw him in the back of the paddy wagon, and took him to jail.
Going down the one way.
You're also a witness?
Yeah, I was here that day.
What was your name?
Kaya.
Kaya?
Yeah.
And Kaya, how many police officers were involved, you know?
There was like three, wasn't there, Chris?
Four. Marty Over, Seeley, I think.
Sergeant Seeley or Officer Seeley?
Officer Seeley.
Did you know the name of the victim?
No, I don't. He was some college guy. Just riding on his bike.
Wow. Spring Cooter.
You just slapped me one time.
So, so apparently things here at, I guess, Lincoln and Pacific are not so good in terms of police misconduct. Anything else you guys want to say or report?
Yeah, I think we need to put a stop to all that shit. All the cops being assholes like that.
You just not filing complaints?
No, it's... I just went to court today.
What happened?
They gave me a court date because last summer they tried to take a picture of me in food court. And I went to food court and used the bathroom. All I did was go in there and go to the bathroom. They said that I graffitied the bathroom, which I don't graffiti. I don't even like it. So I came out of the food court and I was sitting on the bench, and the cops, three or four of them, came up to me saying, Hezekiah, we want to take your picture, we want to take your picture. And I was just like, what for? No, you graffitied the vandalism, the bathroom. And I was all, I didn't do that, dude. And they're all, we're going to take your picture. And I'm all, no, you have no right to take my picture. And then they just kept trying to hold me there. And
did they physically hold you or did they?
No. But, and then I turned around, I said, take a picture of this. And I mooned them, like 8 cops.
Very good. I think we should take a picture of that, definitely. Right?
So they gave me, they said, they didn't give me a ticket or give me a court date. And this was last summer, and I went to jail for it on warrants for it like a week ago and spent 4 days in there. And the files they gave me is vandalism, indecent exposure, in which they said, I graffitied the bathroom, and then after that they said, I came out and whipped out my penis and said, I need some dick. And then they said, I mooned the cops.
And which cops made the complaints?
I don't know the names of them, but...
Have you gotten a copy of the police report yet?
Yeah, but it's at my friend's house.
Okay, well, I hope you follow. We can follow the case.
So they gave me a...
What's your last name?
Neil.
N-E-A-L?
E-E-L. N-E-E-L. So I've been pleading not guilty, and I'm fighting it.
And have you got a public defender?
Yeah.
And do you have another court date coming up?
Yeah, it's next month on...
What we can do, if you're interested in your first name...
Hezekiah.
Hezekiah's case, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. An anonymous individual, tell me something anonymous.
Well, I have one thing to say about the police officers down here. I think it's really wrong for them to ban you from the block for associating with the wrong people. And I'm really fed up with their misconduct.
And that has happened to someone you know?
Yes, it has.
And can you tell me about this person that you know that this happened to? For what reason was he supposedly banned, and where was he banned from?
He was banned from the corner of Cathcart all the way to Soquel on Pacific Avenue due to an alleged affiliation with marijuana sales. He was asked by an undercover officer if he knew where to get any marijuana. And turned him to the right guy, and ended up getting a felony marijuana charge on his record with 3 years probation. And banned from the
probation condition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I feel really sorry for him.
Yeah, I too. Any incidents of police misconduct you wish to talk about or report? Or police good behavior? Hey, let's hear the other side.
I've never been messed with by the girl cop women.
Then there's the stand-up.
They've always been more than fair to me, but the guys totally have it out.
Because you're so good looking, though, you know.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. Dude. I'm so buttery.
Robert, let me give you my card here. And that was Conversations Downtown on Pacific and Lincoln about a week and a half ago concerning what sounds like police misconduct or police overreaction, stuff you're not going to read in the Sentinel. Karen Clark, Sentinel reporter, will never report on that kind of stuff. Never has, never will. Today is also the day when the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which is a group that runs our only emergency shelter, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, which is kind of a pathetic shelter effort, which shelters 30 people on church floors out of 500 to 1,500 homeless, and has also got, of course, a multi-million-dollar community house, fancy transitional housing project going for 30 to 40 other people that may or may not open soon, depending on different things that are happening there. They had their board meeting today, and there's been a lot of controversy in the papers around Karen Gillette. Now, probably many of you listen to my show regularly know Karen Gillette, either personally or know of her. She is the director of the Homeless Community Resource Center. She's the woman who oversees free meals, lockers, shower services, phone services, and the kind of the day center area where homeless people have been given on the kind of the outskirts of town, Highway 1 and Highway 9, to gather. It's kind of the pressure valve where folks go to get out of the hair of the merchants. And the merchants, in fact, are on the board of Karen Gillette's Homeless Community Resource Center and supportive of it, and not simply because it provides another place for them to go than downtown and suits their business sensibilities to have less homeless people downtown, but I'm sure many of them have genuine human concerns about folks. I'm sure Karen does as well. I've been critical of Karen on the air and in my writings in the past, mainly for different reasons. One of the main reasons has been her past hostility to activists, which flared anew last month when she resigned, even though she'd been appointed the kind of the chief boohoo of this very powerful new organization that's being combined by the merger of her board and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless board, which runs the church program and the community house program, so that she would become, in essence, really the most powerful key figure in all this. She was offered that job, but no, instead she chose to resign because she heard some criticisms from Citizens Committee for the Homeless board members that she didn't like. And I was quite outspoken in my hostility to not her resigning. She has a right to do that, but what she did next was she
canceled her resignation and said, I'm coming back, but only if I can veto the composition, or at least part of the composition, of the board with which I'm merging, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. And I spoke to City Council about that. I'm going to give you now the kind of the longer version of the speech I gave at Tuesday's City Council meeting, when the City Council kind of conducted in the morning at its subcommittee meeting a kind of a mini inquisition against the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Not that I have a lot positive to say about them. I mean, they're a pretty cheesy group that you often hear me criticizing on the air as well. They broke their word to homeless people at the campground, and homeless deaths can be traced to their actions in my mind. But nonetheless, they actually have formerly homeless people and homeless advocates on their board, which is more than Karen Gillette's board can say. Gillette has persistently kept those board meetings closed. And even though they are now making token gestures to open the board meetings, there are many of us who wonder whether the board meetings will be open. And giving more power to that kind of a board is questionable. On the other hand, CCH seems so incompetent generally, and Homeless Community Resource Center, I think, is more competent financially, that it's a toss-up. You know, you're either jumping into the latrine or into the sewer. I don't know what you're going to do here. That's, of course, an exaggeration. But it's for some of us, it's a Hobson's choice. Anyway, here's a speech to City Council, some of which made its way to the council, some of which didn't. You get to hear it now. On May 4th, Homeless Community Resource Center Director Karen Gillette began her latest game of homeless hacky sack with a well-publicized, well-orchestrated, and clearly manipulative resignation. She blamed, quote, resistance on the part of some CCH board members in the Sentinel. And in the Metro Santa Cruz, she denounced the integrity and intelligence of six unnamed board members on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Yet weeks before, that same CCH board had named Gillette to the high post of super director overseeing Community House, the ISSB, and the Homeless Community Resource Center, HCRC. She already had the job. No one else was even going to be considered.